and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
And no Ian Bilton.
No.
No. But fear not, listeners, he's having a nice weekend away, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah, it was a bank holiday weekend here in Britain, and he decided to take his good lady over to New York for the weekend.
Yes.
Very nice. With a listener.
With a listener.
Yeah, yeah, that's a bit odd, isn't it?
That is strange.
I'm not sure if we approve of that.
No, I don't think we approve of that entirely. Yeah. We've always been very clear about maintaining a distance between ourselves and the listeners.
Yeah, him and his wife went away with the listener and his wife. Mm. It's a bit strange.
Let's say no more about it, eh?
Yeah. It's all a bit suburban Surrey, isn't it?
Oh, yes, very much. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, it was quite good that he was out of the country because he missed the unpleasantness of the weekend.
Yes, which we won't be discussing.
No.
Well, we were discussing other unpleasantness, but we won't be discussing that unpleasantness.
We'll have to say that Sunderland went down.
Sunderland did indeed.
Yes, they officially went down. They've been down since, before Christmas. But yes, they officially went down.
Yeah, and they were also the subject of a scathing Twitter thread as well.
Yeah.
Which is arguably worse than getting relegated.
It's become a meme though now, isn't it?
It is indeed, yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's great. It's been upgraded to meme.
Yeah. Yeah.
Commiserations to any Sunderland fans listening.
Yes.
And obviously commiserations to Jan.
Yes.
Very, very sad.
Mm-hmm.
To see, what, 10 years?
Ten years.
It's a long time.
And just a few days after Newcastle made it official as well, coming back again.
That's rough. That's rough. One, I can't help but think back to a year ago, though.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll leave it there, though.
We'll leave it there. Yeah. And we've seen with Newcastle, it can be just a temporary thing, and sticking with your manager is quite a good idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, hey, at least it gives people like us something to talk about, doesn't it?
It is.
But we're not going to talk about that.
But we're not going to be talking about that.
No, what we are going to be talking about is perhaps one of Sunderland's replacements in the Premier League.
Perhaps so, yeah.
Yeah, but we don't know because we've got the joy of the playoffs coming up now. Because this is what happens at this end of the business end of the season in the UK is that we have playoffs. It's our post-season, isn't it?
Yeah, we love a post-season.
Yeah.
We're the official podcast of post-seasons.
The top flight doesn't have it.
No.
Top flight doesn't have it, doesn't want it. But throughout, down as far as the eighth tier, even where Whiteleaf play, we have playoffs at the end of the season.
They are great.
It is,
they
truly
are
great.
Generally speaking, good for business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the playoffs are all done and dusted, actually, in Whiteleaf's division.
Non-league level, I know. They get them for really, really quickly.
They do. They do not hang about.
Yeah.
That's because it's not two-legged as well, the semi-finals. It's just a single leg. And, and that's the way it goes up to, I think, the Conference South, until you get.
Time is money as well at this level.
Yeah.
You don't want to be messing about and prolonging these things. Yeah, get them done and out, and then the season's over, and then you can close up and then reopen in August.
But of course, as well, it means that if there's a slight hiccup, club can miss out because Darlington finished in a playoff spot in the Conference North, and they were told that they couldn't take part in it, so it went down a place.
Oh, right. Do you know why?
Yeah, apparently they needed to convert 500 of their seats to covered. Because of the small ground they've got now, it's not good enough for Conference National.
So I said, well, you couldn't go up anyway.
Yeah.
So you can't play.
So you can't play in the playoffs.
It's rough.
It is rough.
It's rough, but I would imagine that they probably have been given some time. They would have known. That's rough on Darlington because, I mean, that's a Phoenix club, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
After having been well and truly sold up the river by a dilettante.
Yep.
Almost say renegade owner.
Yeah.
And for them to be making that kind of progress is great. And then for it to be scuppered by something like that, that's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Still, they'll come again next year, and hopefully they'll be stronger.
Yeah, and I think that huge white elephant of a stadium is still empty, with nothing going on.
I was wondering about the Reynolds. For some reason, I was thinking about, I frequently think about stadiums.
Yes.
Because I'm a massive football nerd, and so therefore I do frequently think about football things. And I was thinking about stadiums, and I was thinking, I wonder what happened to the Reynolds Arena. I wonder where it is now.
Mm.
Well, obviously,
it's still dark.
I see where it is now. It's not like you would have gone to the Bahamas or something like that, moved to Eastbourne to retire.
I think it is actually still there, but I think
should go up there and break in, take some pictures, post them on Twitter.
Or squat there.
Yeah, oh, that's an even better idea. That wasn't what I was thinking at all, but that's actually a much better idea.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. We've got a player. We've got a squatting football club.
Yeah,
unfortunately, a squatting football club could only ever play at home. They couldn't go away.
No, otherwise
the locks would get changed, wouldn't they?
Indeed. Squatters FC, match abandoned, opponents refused to turn up. at the away fixture.
Yeah, we're going to come on to bad ownership, aren't we, later
yeah,
on?
Yeah, I think
because
we might
I think
have
there have been some developments over the weekend that highlighted some bad ownership for everyone, and I think everyone knows we're talking about Leyton Orient, but we're going to come on to them in a minute. But we're going to talk about the playoffs in the championships. Obviously, there's still one more round of fixtures left to play in the championship, just to see who comes up into the Premier League. Now, obviously, Brighton and Newcastle have already won their promotion, and Brighton are now kicking back, aren't they, now?
They are. They yeah. are indeed, yeah.
They lost the last two games.
And they don't give a shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of those games against Bristol, which was quite good for Bristol, because that means that they're safe now.
54 points, and now in the lofty heights of 17th. I mean, that's practically mid-table.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to Bristol, they have had a good run. They were in deep trouble, but they had a good April, and they clawed the way out of trouble.
I would be willing to bet, however, that Brighton were not massively arsed about winning that game.
I can imagine that, so. Yeah. There is still the matter of who wins the actual championship, if that is important to either Brighton or Newcastle. I don't think they really care because they're already up. So, yeah, I don't think they'll be putting a lot of effort in on Sunday. Sunday, is it? When they
Sunday, play? 12 o'clock.
Yes, Sunday midday when they play off those last games. However, another team that had been chasing for that automatic spot, and the one that made it quite a bit of a competition until like the last couple of weeks, was Huddersfield. And David Wagner got into a bit of trouble, didn't he, Terry?
He seems to be in some trouble.
There's been a little bit of hot water.
Yeah, there's been talk that he may get some kind of fine or sanction from the EFL because he made 10 changes for his game against Birmingham City. I don't think he's actually admitted it, but one assumes that this is because they are safely ensconced in the playoff.
Yeah.
And he's decided to rest some players ahead of the playoff tournament. This has put some noses out of joint, specifically Tony Mowbray's nose out of joint again. He was suggesting that perhaps David Wagner was not au fait with the English way of doing things.
Yeah, because English managers would never make wholesale changes to their squads, would they?
Exactly. Well, yeah. I mean, the comment, I don't think the comment was a bit catty, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, suggestion that perhaps in foreign land, you know, they don't play with the same integrity as they do over in England land. I thought that was a bit catty, but I've got some sympathy for him because, you know, Blackburn are unbeaten in the last four. They had a great result against Aston Villa, an improving Aston Villa side on Saturday, and they would have probably thought after that, you know what, I think we've earned a place outside of that bottom three, and they're still in the bottom three. And one of the reasons why they're still in the bottom three is because Birmingham beat Huddersfield 1-0. Yep. And Huddersfield made 10 changes.
Yes.
And it's very difficult not to think that, you know, the reason why Birmingham won was because Huddersfield made all those
changes. Which is a 10-man Birmingham as well.
Absolutely. That is rubbish.
Yeah.
By any measure, that is crap. Yeah.
It is pretty awful. To lose to Birmingham is unfortunate. You know, to lose to a 10-man Birmingham, well, that's smacks of carelessness, isn't it? It is really that. Can you blame him?
I mean, making the changes.
He's got playoff places.
No.
What does he care? But is it good form? Is it actually a wise thing to do when you're coming to a playoff? Or do you want to have some kind of form to take into the playoffs? He's lost two out of his last three now.
He obviously feels that you don't.
Yeah.
I'm sure that he would have gone into that game saying, we want to win this game.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have gone in there saying, guys, don't worry about it. I'm sure he would have gone in there saying, look, but I mean, the point is that he picked probably inferior players. For the team. I'm sure they were sincere and committed, but, you know, couldn't beat a 10-man Birmingham side, so that's pretty garbage. It's got to be said.
It does mean you have to change your mindset, doesn't it? You go from, like, slapping on the ombre solaire and playing in your flip-flops to going into a full-on...
But I'm imagining that he's got these players conditioned for the playoffs now.
Yeah.
And that he's preparing them for the playoffs. And there are plenty of examples in English football in all football, plenty of examples of this happening, of players getting rotated, perhaps not to the extent where almost an entire team is rotated, but in Germany, for example, which is, and I only cite Germany because it's a league I follow closely, but in other leagues as well, you know, there definitely are instances in which, you know, when you've got a big, when I say Dortmund have a big Champions League game ahead of them, Thomas Tuchel will rotate. mean, he's got a big squad with good players, and he can to an extent absorb it. And Ancelotti, I think, has rotated with Bayern.
Yeah.
I don't doubt, obviously, that the really big, you know, clubs in Champions League, Real Madrid, definitely have rotated.
Yeah.
And it's in that respect, I don't think there's anything wrong with doing it. It's just that it's the end of the season. It was a big rotation, and it was a fairly spectacular defeat as well. So it's all head up to this sort of confluence of, what's the word? confluence of grouchiness about this result.
Yeah.
Personally, I think he's well within his rights to do that. It's not his fault that Blackburn are shit.
No, it really isn't. I mean, Blackburn have had every opportunity to get themselves out of that
position. Be less rubbish. If you don't want to be in this position in the end of the season, then you need to be less rubbish.
I mentioned Bristol City. They were behind Blackburn a few weeks ago, and now they're leaving them behind.
Yeah, well, they've been there on a right tear.
Yeah.
Five games unbeaten, four of them wins.
Yeah.
You know, admittedly, one of them, the most recent one, was against, you know, old flip-flop, you know, seaweed, you know, off they go, down onto the beach.
Yeah, there you go, on the beach. Yeah, let's not play it foul, man. Let's come down the beach.
Should we go to Canberra this weekend, or should we just go down to the Hove? What do you reckon, guys? You know, so I think that you could conceivably chastise Brighton for not being at it, but I mean, no one's seriously thinking about doing that.
No.
It's not the same thing as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if I was a manager of Blackburn, I think I'd probably be making the same sort of points.
If I was a Blackburn fan, I'd be miffed.
Yeah.
I'd be totally, if it was Palace in that situation,
if I was a Forest fan, I'd be, well, I don't know what I'd be doing. If I was a Forest fan, it's really
I'd be in a pit of despair.
Yeah.
Is what,
Address, pit of despair. Yeah.
It's getting a bit busy in this pit. Yeah. All those Forest fans moved in.
Yeah. Oh,
bloody Forest.
Telling people about when they won the
World Cup.
When they won
the bloody European Cup, yeah.
Again. Yeah. So did Aston Villa, look there.
Yeah.
And they're mid-table, look at them.
Yeah, there are some right casualties down there, aren't there?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure Leeds won some European silverware in the early 70s, didn't they?
Well, they famously lost the European Cup final, didn't they? I forget who it was that they played, but they were robbed, weren't they? Sorry,
Leeds fans.
Leeds fans, but that is funny. I'd be unhappy, and like you could understand it. But I mean, I think that I'd have the presence of mind to think to myself, well, you know, ultimately, I mean, I'm the kind of person that if my team loses because of a bad refereeing call, the first thing I try and remind myself is that you've got 22 players out there. You've got 11 players for your own team. You've got 90 minutes plus injury time to win a game.
Mm.
You know, and really, you know, the people who are going to win or lose a football match for you are going to be the players. And then if you multiply that over the course of a season, you'd have to say, you know, one game where a team in another fixture entirely, you know, isn't at it, then, you know, I think, you know, you can't really have too much to gripe about, but it is a bit shit.
I suppose it's one of these old, really hoary old discussion topics, but does that mean that the playoffs are a bit of a fake thing with the fact that, that you know, you can get in there in the last week? Well, I mean, up to a couple of weeks ago, well, quite a few teams could get in there. You look at the other divisions, League Two, I think there's everyone from 7th to 12th has got the opportunity of finishing in the playoffs next weekend when it all finishes, which makes for an exciting end, and it means that there are less dead rubbers, like we've had complaints about, and less teams that have got nothing to play for.
Yeah,
but does that necessarily give the leagues more integrity when a team that finishes 6th or 7th can end up going up?
No, in my opinion, it doesn't.
You
sacrifice a bit of integrity in your league structure.
Yeah,
when you introduce the playoffs, to my mind, for fairly obvious reasons, but. You know, I mean, if Fulham were to be promoted, let's say Fulham do snaffle that, and looks like they will do snaffle that final place.
Oh yeah, they've got to lose by about 13-0, I think, in the last day of the season.
Let's say they win the playoffs and go up. You know, they would be, you know, on paper the sixth best team in the league, and then they would be promoted.
Yeah.
I mean, if you use a league structure and you spend all these months playing to a league structure, I think it is manifestly unfair that a team over the course of the season is only the sixth best. That for me is unfair.
Yeah, it's weird because you're almost playing half a season. If you look at the form table, both Fulham and Sheffield Wednesday are, well, Sheffield Wednesday are second on goal difference to Newcastle, and Fulham are third. So you can see that they've had an excellent second half of the season. And those are the two teams you'd probably think of, hang on, those are the ones you've got to watch out for, aren't you, really? Because they're the ones going in with the real push behind them.
But not if you're David Wagner. No. He thinks, well, look, we're in this. Yeah. I don't care who we play.
Yeah.
We just have to be prepared and ready. So if I'm going to give my guys some time off, then that's what I'm going to do. And that's what he's done. It might well be it worked the other way around, that, you know, Fulham, Sheffield Wednesday, you know, having been hard at it for so long, might actually be exhausted or off it by the time the playoff comes around. So it could work either way. But those playoffs are like a little mini season at the end of the season. Yeah. But they are tremendously interesting, very exciting. Not much fun as a supporter, I can tell you that. But, I mean, they generate massive interest in the league and certainly in terms of attendances, because they just keep that interest going, especially if there's always that slight chance, that chance you could qualify for them. So they make absolute sense from a financial and from a sort of drama and narrative point of view.
Yeah.
But they do generate these anomalies whereby, you know, Birmingham City end up beating Huddersfield with 10 men. Probably have to say that is a direct result of the playoff competition.
Hmm.
In that the coach is making a decision based on the fact that he's about to enter the playoffs.
We've already mentioned the League Two playoff situation, where you've got Luton and Exeter have already qualified for the playoffs. The top three have qualified ages ago. Doncaster now freewheeling into the into League One now, having lost their last three games. So, yeah, they're not doing their bit for the integrity of that division. But you, as I say, you've got Luton and Exeter have booked their place there in the playoffs. But the next seven teams all have it to play for in the upcoming weekend. Exeter has got an interesting game because they're at home to Carlisle. If they lose to Carlisle, then that means they'll play the next two games will be against Carlisle because they'll be facing them in the playoff semi-finals.
Yeah.
So do you want to beat that side or do you want to suffer a defeat to a side and give them any advantage in these two upcoming games, especially get defeat at home in your last home game of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that the best course of action would be to try and win that game.
Yeah.
And then just turn it into a bit of a streak, so just see it as a series.
Yeah.
As you would in baseball or something like that. So you've got a series of three games, one of which is essentially meaningless, and then almost like a warm-up.
Yeah.
And then you go in for those two games. It's very difficult to know what the right thing to do is. I think, you know, just going back briefly to Huddersfield, you know, you can understand why he's done it because they're there and there's very little uncertainty. Yeah, I don't know. I reckon Exeter would probably just think, you know, I wouldn't blame them if they said, well, look, you know, we're going to rest a few players. Maybe keep their powder dry.
Yeah.
Like, don't give too much away.
Hmm. Got to play this lot next week.
Yeah, so because we've got to go, we may not be playing this lot next week. So let's
go up against an opposition that we know at least.
Yeah. And Carlisle will have to go for it because, you know,
they've got to win. Because if they lose, then they're going to get almost certainly be overtaken by one of the many teams that
below them.
So, especially as two of them are playing each other. So they're I think Cambridge are playing Wickham, I think.
So if Exeter rest players, then
yeah. Exeter
presumably could wear. But what about the integrity of the sporting competition?
Well, the integrity of League Two has already been called into question last week on Saturday.
Well, that was dodgy, wasn't it?
Very dodgy.
Yeah,
and it's something that they can't do again now, can they?
No, because they've definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, that was they definitely shot their bolt with that one.
What happened at the end of the Leighton Orient Colchester match on Saturday? It was stuff of farce, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
It was, really. I mean, if you haven't seen it on social media or through the highlights packages, what actually happened was there was a massive fan protest by the Leighton Orient supporters. They came on and stopped the game with 5.5 minutes remaining, and they stayed on the pitch for, well, I think it was a good 3/4 of an hour, wasn't it, at least.
Yeah, something like that.
And then there was a tannoy announcement. After many a tannoy announcement asking them to please leave the pitch so that the game can be finished. Colchester were 3-1 up at the time. And the fans just wouldn't leave until there was an announcement to say that the match had been abandoned.
Mm.
Some element of feeling of job done from the fans, they thinned out and moved on. As soon as they left, they ran out, put the nets back on and restarted the game. And in quite eerie circumstances as well, because neither side were actually playing, were they, anymore? They were just kicking the ball.
They were
around.
Yeah, that's right. It was a kickabout until they saw the game out.
And yeah, so just to dot I's and cross T's and just to make sure that the game had been done. What did you think of that?
I genuinely don't know what to make of the whole protest thing and the manner with which they expedited the situation.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that what you've basically done is you've said any future protests of that nature, these guys are just never going to leave.
Yeah.
Because they said, no, you know, how do we know you won't?
Yeah, we've seen how this works.
Yeah, you can't fall. We're not falling for that, mate. No.
Yeah.
So there's that side of thing. And then there's the other side of it, which is, again, going back to its sporting integrity.
Yeah.
The final few minutes of that match was just played at, you know, like a walking pace.
Yeah.
And this is, although a game meaningless for Leyton Orient because, you know, they are already relegated, but Colchester right in the thick of that playoff race.
They are. I mean, to put it this way, they are behind Cambridge United at the moment by one goal.
Right.
That's how tight it is there at the moment. And they're only 1 point behind Blackpool in that seventh playoff spot. Blackpool, who also play Leyton Orient this week.
Yeah. And so how's that going to go down?
How is that going to happen?
Yeah.
How is that going to go down if, as many suspect, that there will be another protest there? There is always already going to be a joint march.
Well,
because Blackpool are even worse, are run even worse than Leyton are, if you could believe that.
It is true. Yes, indeed. Yeah, they are.
And they had a joint protest back in November when the two sides played at Brisbane Road.
The problem is that the Blackpool fans' position will be, look, we are in the playoffs.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
So will there be an accord if that's at all possible between the two sets of fans to say, look, please don't do this because
don't mess these things up
we have something to play for and you don't.
Well, there was already talk about stopping sales of all tickets to travelling fans, which considering that as Orient already relegated, that would mean the last game that they play in the league, so they get promoted again at some point in the future.
Yeah.
Would be locked out to their fans would be locked out of.
Which would be a tragedy. Certain people would probably argue that they had that coming because they shouldn't have invaded the pitch.
Certain people would do, but then again,
I wouldn't be one of them.
I think it's you'd have to be very, very cold hearted to actually think. Yeah.
Sometimes pitch invasion can be dick moves.
Yeah.
But they do have a place, particularly in fan movement, where it's very difficult to have any kind of say in the way the game is run, and you have to take direct action. And you know, it doesn't get much more direct in football than invading the pitch and interrupting the play.
Yeah.
And it's justified politically, in my view, to do that.
Yeah, and not just interrupting the game, interrupting the league.
Yeah.
That's what it
which is what this has done.
Is doing, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically rendered that for the climax of that game to be, you know, well, I mean, it's shortened the climax thing. Because although the game was technically wasn't abandoned, it really was, because the players...
Yeah. I think, though, if Colchester miss out on the playoffs by one goal, which, you know, they could easily happen, where does that leave...
Well, they could make the argument and say, look, you know, if this had been a competitive fixture at the end of the... If we played competitively...
Yeah.
Then we could have scored that goal that we needed.
Listeners, you've listened to that, and you've probably read enough about it in the press as well. If you've got any opinions, please send them to us. I mean, we're not saying what we do. These are just our opinions and our observations on it. And if you're an Orient fan, or if you're a fan of Colchester or Blackpool or any side in that League Two chase, then let us know.
Give us your end of
Exeter, because Gary, I mean, like,
Gary.
We talk to you all the time.
Yeah, not you, Gary. Yeah. It's just get in touch by WhatsApp if you want to.
Yeah, yeah.
Just speaking of the whole playoff thingy in Australia.
Yes.
Is the A-League Grand Final.
Yes.
Which is the placement of the Grand Final, the teams that make up the Grand Final, is actually determined by playoff.
Yeah.
Now, the playoff is heavily weighted towards the teams that finish further up the table.
Sure.
Nevertheless,
because you don't even know who you're going to meet in the semi-finals until
has to be preliminary semi-finals and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's not. I won't go through it because it's boring. But it's not as convoluted as it sounds.
Yeah.
And actually, I would think that in England we could look at the way that they do that, because I think that it would help just to add extra weight to teams that do better in the league by giving them advantage.
It's how it's done in the lower leagues, in the Roman and the...
Of course, if you finish higher, you play at home.
Yeah.
Now, the game is between Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory. You'll be able to read about it in the box set.
Oh, in the box set, you know, if you get it.
Assuming that you subscribe to the box.
You subscribe. Yeah.
They're the top two teams, and also the two biggest rivals.
Every Australian sport should end up in its final between Sydney versus Melbourne. I mean, like, whatever it is.
And in the A League, it should be Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory, and not the other Sydney teams and the other Melbourne teams. And
especially not the other Melbourne team.
Well, maybe South Melbourne, but they're not actually in the A League. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is the gap between the two is 17 points.
Well, Sydney FC are pretty frightening this year, aren't they?
They are considered to be the best ever A-League side.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be astonishing if they actually blew the grand final, blew the title?
Would be amazing, wouldn't it?
If they lost to Melbourne Victory. It would be brilliant.
You'd love it, wouldn't you?
I would love it.
Yeah.
It would be hilarious.
Yeah.
But there is your inherent problem with deciding things by playoff is the team that by some margin is the best in the land, but it then has to produce this one-off performance. And if they blow it, then they'll always be remembered.
luckily though, and we saw this on Saturday when Sydney played their semi-final, they've got the VAR.
They've got the VAR on their side. They have the VAR.
So all their decisions will go their way.
Yeah, that was fun. We won't go into that, but that was fun.
Yeah.
There was some VAR shenanigans going on.
Get hold of the footage yourself and you make your own mind up. Because we were in, I was in conversation with Andre Doublesin about on Twitter, and he was not convinced about it.
He wasn't
fully convinced.
One
of the goals was very clear cut.
The halftime show, they were trying the second goal. They were trying to justify why the VAR was wrong. Now it might well be that they were right, but it was massively subjective as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, well, Bosnich, I think, said himself, this is 100% right.
Yeah. I said, oh, I don't think it is 100% right.
I don't think that is 100%.
Because otherwise the referee would have called it, and not they would have needed the VAR.
Yeah, so and it also as well, they only showed it from a certain time frame, because there was a high challenge very early in the move that led immediately to the move to the goal.
In fairness, that's not what the VAR was asked to look at. Mm. Although, in fairness, the VAR could have said, look, actually, let's have a look at this as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked at the goal and I thought, I can see why it's been given.
Yeah, I can see why it's been given.
But that's not cut and dried. Yeah, and I can see also why the referee said, and why the lino said, actually, he was offside, he was interfering with the defender there.
Yeah.
Because from where the lino was standing, it would have...
See, I don't think it's not a mistake. No. It's just an interpretation of the rules.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's not enough to say, you've never played football if you
This is Bosnich was really laying it
on. Fox Teller got a lot invested in the VAR. So, I mean, everyone's got a lot invested in the VAR, and they don't want to look foolish when it turns out that, in fact, it's wrong.
Yeah.
And you could easily make the argument that it's wrong.
Yeah.
It certainly didn't remove doubt.
No, and certainly gave them more to talk about even.
So we've got all this to look forward to next season.
Oh, this will be great, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Actually, it might be quite good.
Well, it's certainly, it's for people like us who do have to talk about it.
It's half an hour. Look at that. No, we were wrapping up.
We've got an extra 5 minutes of content, mate.
Thank you, VAR.
Thank you, VAR. We love you. Really.
Hail the VAR.
Yeah, it's okay. I'll cut that a bit out because we've still got to maintain this vibe that we really hated.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Don't worry.
Mum's the word, eh?
Yeah, mum's the word. Yeah, those suckers. They'll buy it.
The fools. Is he still on?
Yeah, I think so. Right. But of course, you can read all about the A-League Grand Final. It is going to be one of your games.
It is, yeah.
You've got a lot of games in there. There's some bubble ones on Sunday, isn't there?
Yeah, there's the there was Arsenal versus Manchester United, and then obviously the A-League, and then there's the two Championship games.
Yes.
Yeah, Ipswich versus Nottingham Forest.
Forest have to win that because Ipswich are an absolute shower, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you've got something to... Yeah, I mean, there's a team that really... You have to ask why. Ipswich Town.
Well, I mean, I only get this because I haven't seen a lot of Ipswich, but I do, for some reason, I've got a lot of Ipswich fans on my timeline.
Mm.
And they seem to delight in retweeting lots of people, fellow Ipswich fans, who are having a very, very bad time of it.
Saturday, there's Real Madrid playing Granada. Tony Adams' Granada,
of course.
I'm sure we'll all look forward to that. And Barcelona, and they follow immediately on from each other, more or less.
Wow.
Barcelona game is at 5:30.
Yeah.
And then the evening kickoff is Real. You know, Barca are top.
Yeah, but Real got a game in hand. So.
Yeah, but they have to win it, though.
Yeah, and they've got to play Sevilla as well.
So. They have.
But that's at home, so...
There's shenanigans afoot.
Yes.
Yeah, and there's shenanigans afoot. The final game is against Malaga.
Right.
Malaga is... I don't know the full details. I can't remember his name, but the manager of Malaga is an ex-Real Madrid player of some standing who has publicly said that he would love Real to win the league.
Right.
The president of Malaga made some comments in connection with Catalan scum, which he then later sort of like dialed back from. I was talking about Catalans in general. And Malaga, if Real Madrid win La Liga,
yeah,
then Malaga get €1 million because it's part of the clause in the contract with the transfer from Isco to Real Madrid, was that when Real Madrid win a title with Isco in the side, in the squad, they will get €1 million.
Wow.
And they play each other on the last game of the season.
Now there you go.
That's the bones out of that one.
That is some full on Euro scandal. That one, isn't
it?
It's great,
isn't it?
Yeah, we're better off out of that, aren't we?
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm glad we're out of that. Glad we're not getting involved in that.
Yeah, up yours, Juncker.
Yeah, Juncker.
Pass the menu. And on that tale, I think it's time to wrap up. But yes, again, just a reminder: it's tinyletter.com/soundoffootball for the weekend box set. 7 great matches to watch over the weekend, maybe even an 8th one if you've got room this weekend. But
yep,
something like that. So subscribe, it will be in your email on Friday. But I think that's all we have time for. We've managed to fill up the time even without Jan groaning on and on about Lee Catamol. But from me, Graham Sibley, and from Tony the Film, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
We know how to talk for 40 minutes. This is one less of us. We're talking even more. Jesus Christ.
And we had to cut conversation short there as well.
Yeah, we genuinely don't know when to shut up about.